Good morning, and welcome to St. Patrick's Cathedral for the celebration of the Eucharist on the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. Music for today's liturgy can be found online at www.stpatrickscathedral.org/live or in the blue St. Michael hymnal in the pew in front of you. Our celebrant for this Mass is Father Enrique Salvo, rector of St. Patrick's Cathedral. We now ask you to rise and join in singing the entrance hymn, which can be found in your hymnals on page 410, All Creatures of Our God and King, page 410.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Welcome everyone to St. Patrick's Cathedral, including everyone that are joining us in this Holy Mass in so many places around the world. Let us begin by recalling our sins and asking our Lord to grant us His peace, His mercy, and His forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, who govern all things, both in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the pleading of your people and bestow your peace on our times. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her vindication shines forth like the dawn and her victory like a burning torch. Nations shall behold your vindication and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, pronounced by the mouth of the Lord. You shall be a glorious crown in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem held by your God. No more shall people call you forsaken or your land desolate. But you shall be called my delight, and your land espoused. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. The word of the Lord.
Proclaim his marvelous deeds to all the nations. Proclaim his marvelous deeds to all the nations.
Oh, sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Oh, sing to the Lord, bless his name.
Reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given from some benefit. To one is given through the Spirit the expression of wisdom. To another, the expression of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healing by the one Spirit. To another, mighty deeds. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, varieties of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them individually to each person as he wishes. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first. And when the people have drunk freely, an inferior one, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
We've just begun the new year in ordinary time. Last Sunday, we celebrated the baptism of our Lord. And after the baptism, his mission begins. He goes to the mount where he is in the desert 40 days. And then the first miracle that happens in the whole time of the thousands of miracles, which, as the Gospel of St. John says, if they were to be written all down, all of the books of the world would not be enough to contain them. The first miracle is what we just heard, the miracle at the wedding in Cana, where Jesus transforms water into wine. And it's something that then we must put a lot of thought into, that because it's the first miracle. It's definitely not by coincidence, and there is so much there. Of course, we see so many amazing miracles, the healings of the deaf and the blinds and the paralytics. We see those delivered from possessions. We see the multiplication of the loaves. So many beautiful miracles. But this is the first one, and we have to see what that means for us, because that's what Jesus wants to not only tell the people that were there that day, but all of us throughout the ages. First of all, to understand and grasp, it's important for us to know the significance of wine itself in the time of Jesus.
We always appreciate wine, some cultures more than others, perhaps, and some people more than others, and some people are connoisseurs, and they know everything it takes for wine, for a great wine to be made. But in the time of Jesus, wine was elemental. It was necessary. It was one of the goodnesses of life that they would thank God for. Because wine, not only, of course, was it a sign of joy, as, of course, was present in any great celebration like a wedding, it was also a sign of life and the abundance of God's creation that he gives us. Sometimes it was healthier to drink wine than to drink water in many cases. And it was necessary for just livelihood. Wine was also used many times to treat wounds of all sorts. So it was also associated with healing. And wine, as of course we will see 3 years later at the Last Supper, also represents a covenant with God. A covenant with God that with wine we do in every single Mass, every single moment of the day throughout the world for all the ages, when the bread and the wine becomes his body and blood. So wine is something that is so important. It's important for us. It was necessary in the time of Jesus. And the fact that the wine ran out meant that the joy was going to leave that wedding. It meant that that sadness was going to come in. That it meant that people were going to be turned away without being without giving something after they're making their long journeys to this wedding and so on. So Jesus has this miracle in which he takes the water jars and he transforms the water into wine. But it's not just that he does it where he gets enough. How many guests do we have left? And how much do you think we have left for the party to last? Okay, we might need like maybe 5 bottles. It was not like that. If we do the math of the 25 to 30 gallons times 6 and then see how much it would be in a normal bottle of wine, it comes out to about 850 bottles. Of wine. That's like over a pallet of wine. That's a lot of wine that Jesus made miraculously for that wedding. And it was not just any wine. It was the best wine, of course, that anyone could have ever tasted. Because when Jesus gives, he gives in abundance. And he wants to abundantly give us his joy and his healing and his life and the covenant with God that we so much need. But then also, of course, there's another very important character in this story, which is our Blessed Mother Mary. And our Blessed Mother Mary was perhaps one of the, aside from Joseph, one of the few people that really knew all along who Jesus Christ was. Because at that moment, even though he had the shepherds and everything, but like in their daily life, very few people knew who he was. Mary, of course, she received the message of an angel. From that moment on, when she says yes, she is aware that she's bringing the Messiah into the world, even though no one knows what that's going to look like. But Mary knew who her son was, and she brought him into the world to be our Savior. So who asks really for the first miracle? Who was the miracle really for? It was something that Mary, his mother, asked herself. It's actually, we will never know what happens, because there should be a paragraph there between the moment that Jesus first says, but it's not my time yet. And then there's the next sentence is Mary going directly to the head waiters and like, fill the water jars. In other words, there had to be a conversation there in which Jesus at first is like, I'm not sure if this is the moment. And then, of course, Mary gets her way and here it goes. So there had to have been a conversation there in which Mary, for the first time, pleaded on behalf of another person, in this case, the bride and the groom, that were probably her friends and were probably going to be embarrassed. And of course, the miracle happened through her intercession, which is a reminder that our spiritual mother, our Blessed Mother will never stop interceding for us. She is our mother. She cares about everything in our lives. And this is not theological, but at this point, it's probably safe to say that Mary has a blank check of grace. She doesn't have to go to God for every single thing that is good for us. She's our mother. She's like, God, yeah, I trust you. They need this. You don't have to ask me every single time. But this first miracle, she asked Jesus, can we do this for these people? And of course, he does. And all of this happens, though, because something bad happened at that wedding. The wine ran short. The jars were empty. Who knows what the cause of that was? And we'll never know. There's all types of speculation, including that perhaps Jesus brought in way too many disciples that weren't invited in the first place, and they drank a lot of the wine, and now it's like also like on part on them that they were going through this embarrassment. We'll never know. But if it weren't for that problem, we would not be talking about that first miracle in that wedding. That wedding would be one more wedding in history that happened 2,000 years ago. We would not be talking about that wedding in Cana in St. Patrick's Cathedral in 2025 had that problem not arisen in the first place, which is a reminder that when we have our empty jars in our lives, when we need a miracle, when we really need to be saved from anything, our Lord and our Blessed Mother are going to always be there for us. And that is something that we must always, in every moment, we must always remember, especially when we are going through any tragedy in our life. So, don't worry about it. So, right now, we're one tragedy, just to put as an example, one tragedy that, of course, we're all seeing, that we should all be in shock with, and something that we have to help. As a matter of fact, we're taking a second collection today, and we'll be doing collections throughout the Archdiocese and here in the Cathedral, is what we're seeing, the tragedy of the Los Angeles fires. And it has to be one of the worst natural disasters we've ever seen. How miles and miles and miles of the fires have been burned, the houses and burned to the ground, people's livelihoods, people's everything. And it's something that we must be filled with compassion. We couldn't even fathom, unless we've been in that situation, what it means that from one moment to the other, everything is gone, and something that we must help. But we must remember that especially when these things happen, all the more God is there. Our Blessed Mother is there. The prayers are being answered. And this is not just something that we say, like a pious platitude to make people feel better. It's not about that. Let's look concretely on how this really comes out to be. Because every single time that there is a tragedy, and now we even have more, a bigger viewpoint of these tragedies, because in the past we needed to rely on only like news cameras and so on to take video of what's happening. Now everyone's recording in their phone and in their individual cars and so on what they're seeing, what they're going through in their own unique life in the big picture of the tragedy. And I've seen a lot of those, and everyone, so many of them are praying and praying and praying. They were joking that it's a godless city. Of course it's not. It's something that, of course, God is there very much. And everyone that is opening themselves to God's grace, first of all, one way in which he is going to help them is in the fact that he gives us the gifts that we need of the Holy Spirit to go on from these disasters, to have fortitude, to have the peace that surpasses all understanding, to have hope that this isn't the end, to have faith that even when lives are taken, when death happens, that the gates of heaven will also be opened for all those people. And therefore, interiorly, in the person's mind and heart and soul, the victims, that God is doing everything when we are opening to help that person survive. But also the other way that he is there, very much so, it's exactly what we just heard in the letter to the Corinthians. The Holy Spirit is also giving gifts to so many people in different ways, but for everyone to come together and do their part in helping to make this something that will be healed. So we have everything from firefighters and first responders fighting endlessly with the fires. We have neighbors watering their neighbor's yards, even if they didn't really know them. We have people taking in other people into their homes. We have people donating all types of food and all types of things. We have people that are looking for each other's pets. Everyone's coming together, but each and every one of those is an answer of prayer. And it's the what we just heard coming into action. The Holy Spirit chooses to give this one the gift of service, this one the gift of consolation, this one the gift of prayer, that they're prayer warriors praying for the healing, this one the gift of hospitality. But through those two ways that are very practical, that we know that in the same way, God and our Blessed Mother and the whole heavenly family and the human family are there in the time of crisis. Always when there is a crisis, it's always a juxtaposition between sometimes good and always good, sometimes evil if it's man-made, tragedy and love. Because wherever there is a tragedy like this, you see the tragedy, but you also see the heroic love that happens when these tragedies unfold. And we can never dismiss that part of the picture, because that is where God is. And when we in the end go through these moments that are tragic, whether individually or collective, with God, what he does is that we become like the wine that was better than the wine that was served before. It's meant to be that we become the wine in our soul has to be better than the one that used to be before the problem arose. Because every time we go through a tragedy, it's a moment for us to let him make us even better and more loving and more compassionate and more faithful than we've ever been if we had not had whatever tragedy we've gone through. It's always going to be our choice, because it's part of our faith. And, you know, I want to share a little testimony as well. Something that always happens if we think about this, when we have these natural disasters or everything, is that there's always, it always happens if we notice, there's always like an image of a statue or a Bible that survives miraculously. Even in 9/11, there's like the cross that survived. It was the beams of the building, but it was like a cross that survived. There's right now in California, we're seeing all these images. For example, that family that lost everything, but they had their Our Lady of Guadalupe statue intact, and they all sang beautiful chants around the statue, filled with faith amidst their despair. And we see that other people, everything burned except their Bible. Other people, there was an angel. And we have to see and analyze that, because it's not just something that's interesting. It's something very powerful when we put some thought into it. Because someone wise once told me that when we see, and this is good for all of us to know anyways, when we see the images in the church, like the crucifixes, the image of our Blessed Mother and the saints and so on, they're not just there in the way that sometimes we describe them as being there in the same way that we would put family pictures of our loved ones at home. They're obviously not there as idols. They're not there as the way we would put someone to commemorate in city parks, someone that did something good. The statues that are there are reminders of the spiritual realities that are taking place in this very place. So we are not going to be able to visibly see what's going to happen in the Eucharist right now, but Jesus is going to be there. Our Blessed Mother is going to be there. The heavenly court is going to be there. The souls in heaven, even the souls in purgatory, are going to be there. And when we see all of these statues, it's a reminder that they're here. And it's just like we can't see it, but they're here, and it's a reminder to lift our faith. So when we find these things in these tragedies, it's a reminder that they're there, that these people are not alone. And I'll share something, because I have one of those. I have one of those statues that I've had in my bedside since I was born. And it's an image of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and she was carrying baby Jesus. And my mom had an aunt that was a nun that gave it to her for her wedding, and then she put it in my bedside. Because when I was 2 months old, it was December 23rd. It was about to be my first Christmas, and everyone was filled with joy in Managua, Nicaragua, where I was born. And everything was, life was great. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night at 12:23 a.m., the city collapses in a terrible earthquake. And thousands of people died. This entire city was destroyed within everything tumbling down and the fires that came from that. And basically, from one second to the other, it changed from Christmas celebration to a deep, deep tragedy that cost so many lives. But then, it was, of course, very difficult. But then when they went through the rubbles of my house where everything was destroyed, and I could have died because there was bricks falling all over, like by my where my crib was and everything. My mom, you know, finds the statue amidst the rubble. And of course, it was not intact. Mary's little hand was broken off, in which my mom said, Mary put her hand out to save the baby. And it's a reminder of that. But also, sadly, the little head of baby Jesus also fell off in the earthquake. But I see it now as a beautiful reminder that we are all the broken Christ that Mary carries. We're all broken, and she carries us with her love that way. And this statue that has been always then in my bedside, which was, it's all broken because of a tragedy like that. It's not for me like something when I see it as a sign of how that was so sad, or a sign that it was so tragedy. Why did God allow that? It's a sign of hope. Whenever I see this, which is each and every day, it's a sign of hope that all along our Lord and our Blessed Mother were there with us that day, and they will always be with us in the good times and in the bad times of our life. And that is what we must always have faith and hope on. So that does not take away the suffering that is real, but it's the suffering always knowing that we are not alone. We are always in the love of our Lord, who will be with us always, especially when the jars of our life run empty. God bless you.
Now let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now let us ask our Heavenly Father to help us with all of our needs.
For Pope Francis, for our shepherd Timothy Cardinal Dolan, for all clergy, religious, and laity, that they may be holy and effective in their mission to draw all people to Christ, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace among and within nations, and for those suffering in war-torn lands, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our nation, as we celebrate the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr., for harmonious relations among people of all races and cultures, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That God will bless the March for Life in Washington, D.C. this Friday, and that the hearts will be converted to respect the dignity of each human life from conception through natural death, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who have lost life or home or workplace in the recent fires, we pray to the Lord.
Hear our prayer.
And for all our beloved dead, that they may enjoy the fullness of eternal life, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us so much that you have sent us your Son, Jesus Christ, to bring us that love in which we can always rely on, especially in our moments of tragedy. We ask you to always help us to have that faith and hope and to help us with all of our needs, which we present to you each day in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Oh,
Pray, brothers and sisters, that this, my sacrifice and yours, may be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father. Grant us, O Lord, we pray, that we may participate worthily in these mysteries, for whenever the memorial of this sacrifice is celebrated, the work of our redemption is accomplished through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For out of compassion for the waywardness that is ours, he humbled himself and was born of the Virgin. By the passion of the cross, he freed us from unending death, and by rising from the dead, he gave us life eternal. And so, with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory as without end we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
And we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly, we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit.
Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world. and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, and Timothy, our Bishop, and all the clergy.
Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who asked your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And with your spirit. Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Thank you. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Thank you.
join in singing our communion hymn, which could be found in your hymnals on page 510. Draw Us In, The Spirit's Tether, page 510 in your hymnal. Second communion hymn can also be found in your hymnal on page 528, Gift of Finest Wheat, page 528.
Let us pray. Pour on us, O Lord, the spirit of your love, and in your kindness make those you have nourished by this one heavenly bread, one in mind and heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. The Mass is ended. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in singing our recessional hymn, which could be found in your hymnals on page 776, The Church is One Foundation, page 776.